Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. A high-level Alaskan appointee in the Trump administration has taken a job with an oil company seeking to develop a major project on the North Slope. The Alaska Energy Desk reports that former North Pole resident Joe Balash left his post as assistant secretary at the Interior Department last week without saying if he'd taken a new job. The Washington Post reported yesterday that Balash has accepted a position with Oil Search, a Papua New Guinea-based company that first expanded into Alaska in 2017. At the Interior Department, Balash advocated for the Trump administration's energy dominance strategy, pushing to open more federal lands to drilling, including the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge and the National Petroleum Reserve, Alaska. Oil Search is advancing a project on the North Slope, which could ultimately produce as much as 120,000 barrels of oil a day. Balash told the Post he will abide by a Trump administration ethics pledge that blocks high-level appointees from lobbying the agency where they worked for 5 years. Environmental organizations criticized Balash for accepting a job in the oil industry, saying he's trying to profit from his government work. Interior projects are on a finalized Defense Department list of those from which funds will be diverted to build President Trump's proposed border wall with Mexico. As Alaska Public Media's Zachariah Hughes reports, of 127 projects at both domestic and foreign military installations, four are in Alaska.
The move comes after President Trump declared a national emergency along the southern border in February, saying his executive powers allow him to shift the funds. Congressional Democrats tried to block the effort in court, but lost. Now, $3.6 billion from military construction projects will go to building or repairing 11 sections of wall along the border. In Alaska, the deferred projects include an upgrade to a weapons training range and repairs to two power plant boilers at Eielson Air Force Base, as well as an expansion of a missile field at Fort Greely. In total, the deferred construction projects are worth $102 million. Though far from the total value of defense dollars sent to the state each year, it's still a significant fraction of what Alaska receives annually. In a statement Wednesday, Senator Dan Sullivan said deferring military projects in Alaska to pay for border wall construction is in the national interest and does not alter the state's position in overall defense strategy, adding that he has been assured by defense officials that, quote, the Pentagon's reprogramming announcement will not affect the scheduled deployment of F-35s or the build-out of America's missile defense system in Alaska. Both he and Congressman Don Young pointed blame at Democrats for causing the president to take funds from military projects. However, earlier this year, both Democrats and Republicans agreed to a spending bill that set aside more than $1 billion to pay for barriers along the border, but that amount was significantly less than the $5.7 billion President Trump sought. Both Young and Sullivan, as well as Senator Lisa Murkowski, voted for the final spending package. Spokesperson for Murkowski said the senator is traveling without access to phone or email and did not yet have a statement on the news. In Anchorage, I'm Zachariah Hughes.
Fairbanks North Star Borough schools are switching to LED lighting to save money. As KUAC's Robin reports, the district anticipates saving nearly $1 million a year by swapping out older technology light bulbs for the more efficient and durable LEDs.
The Fairbanks North Star Borough analyzed where money could be saved with some changes in energy use. Borough Mayor Bryce Ward says a borough energy officer looked at lighting.
What if we did all of the lights in the borough, and then what if we did all the lights in the school district, converted them to LED? And when we ran the numbers, it was pretty phenomenal.
The Board of Education heard a presentation on energy savings at their regular meeting Tuesday night. They reviewed the project to replace all the incandescent and fluorescent lights with LEDs, light-emitting diodes, which require less power for the same number of lumens and last much longer. But it means changing out 70,000 light bulbs. And the price tag is high, $2.5 million. Ward says lighting has one of the quickest payback periods. That means we realize the savings soon after making the investment.
Switching from the lights that we have in the facilities to the LED, the new technology, so it would have over 2 year payback period.
It's a significant project, but if this project is completed, it has a potential to save almost $1 million annually.
Superintendent Karen Gaborik says school district operations worked with the mayor and the borough energy folks over the summer to see if the project was affordable. Chief Operations Officer Andy DeGraw says the project will pay for itself.
Anytime in the break-even world, you know, when you generate savings through an upfront investment, a 2.2-year break-even is really a home run.
Part of the savings is about $20,000 in a year that's being spent now on stocking bulbs in the district's central store and staff time to change burned-out light bulbs. A contractor will be hired to clean all the light housings and fixtures in school buildings and parking lots over next summer. $1.5 million is proposed to come out of the district's Facilities Maintenance Reserve, or FMR, which would empty it out and leave nothing for emergencies. Superintendent Gaborik says the relationship between the school district and the borough is close enough to work that out.
I know it's unnerving to empty that FMR account. I feel confident that the mayor and I can work together on ways to replenish that.
About $1 million for the changeout will come from borough funds. The spending also has to be approved by the borough assembly. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
Record temperatures were set and tied on the North Slope Tuesday. A National Weather Service post says Dead Horse hit 70 degrees, besting the previous September high temperature record of 67 set in 1986. Normal highs for the first week of September in Dead Horse are in the mid-40s. Koparik also set a new September record with 67 degrees on Tuesday, besting the previous high of 66 set in 2006. New Ixit tied its September high mark of 66, also set in 2006. The Weather Service notes that Umiat hit 71 on Tuesday, but that was short of the all-time September record of 75 set there in 1995. Smoke jumpers have been called on often during this year's intense and long-running Alaska wildfire season.
We just made the 1,000th fire jump of the season September 1st.
BLM Alaska Fire Service spokesperson Beth Ibsen says that's more than double the normal season average of 438 individual jumps.
Since 1959, which is when Alaska smoke jumpers first started operations, only 10 seasons have resulted in 1,000 or more fire jumps.
Ibsen says the record number of jumps was 1,725 set in 1983, when fewer wildfires were allowed to burn in the state. Alaska's 2019 wildfire season has been most notable for its duration, with new starts in August and September due to record warm, dry conditions south of the Alaska Range.
This fire season has dragged on for quite a long time. We've actually had smoke jumpers deploy on fires in the Bristol Bay area, which is pretty uncommon. We had smoke jumpers on fire in Livelock. There's one near Equock. So not only are we breaking milestones, but we're also jumping in not some of your more usual places.
Throughout the long season, Ibsen says Alaska's 63 smoke jumpers based at Fort Wainwright were aided by numerous others from outside.
We reached a milestone on July 14th when there were 206 smoke jumpers operating in Alaska. That is setting the record for the most smoke jumpers at one time.
Ibsen notes that normally most of Alaska's smoke jumpers have deployed to incidents in the lower 48 at this time of year, but this year the state continues to draw on smoke jumpers from outside. Two environmental groups are suing the Trump administration for its decision to allow Hillcorp to harm beluga whales in Cook Inlet during offshore oil and gas exploration. One of the plaintiffs, Bob Shavelson with Cook Inlet Keeper, tells Alaska Public Media seismic blasts and other exploration work would devastate a population already suffering from the effects of climate change and other factors.
The Cook Inlet beluga whales literally teetering on the edge of extinction. There was a general idea that with the halt to native subsistence hunting in 1999, that the population would rebound, but that didn't occur.
Cook Inlet Keeper and its partner in the lawsuit, the Center for Biological Diversity, note that Hillcorp does not have a clean record in Alaska, pointing to several citations, fines, and warning letters the company has received from regulators. The company did not respond to a request for an interview. I'm Dan Bross.